Living wisely is the devotion for tonight, taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 10, 8 to 15. One anonymous writer spoke well concerning living wisely. He says this: to wait on God, no time is lost. Wait on. To walk with God, no strength is lost. Walk on. To talk with God, no breath is lost. Talk on. The order of his admonition has been arranged to bring forth the essence of our text tonight. Solomon is seeking God's wisdom to provide good guidance to the pitfalls of a foolish life. You know, time moves in one direction, and daily we make many decisions, and the decisions we make in life decides the course of our life. And therefore, if we would act wisely, we would reap a wise man's reward. But if we would walk foolishly, then we would reap the foolish man's folly. And therefore, we want to take time in order to consider and be living wisely. So these three thoughts that we want us to consider for tonight. Avoid foolish vengeance, verse 8 to 9. Avoid foolish exertions, verse 10. And avoid foolish talking, verses 11 to 15. Avoid foolish vengeance, verses 8 to 9. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. So here is given four pictures to tell us that evil shall fall upon the heads of its own authors. He that diggeth the pit may fall into it himself. And the old hedge is a hazardous place for the serpent, often hides and lurk there to the undefended or to the person who would come near, right, risk being bitten. And then the remover of stones from a building may cause the stones to even fall upon the head of the person. And the cleaving of wood is a danger to the person who is working. The cutting up of logs of wood, he may hurt himself with the axe, as Deuteronomy 19 verse 5 says, a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hewn wood, and his hand fetches a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth off the heath and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he die. So here is a situation, different situations, scenarios that the Lord wants us to consider and think, that we are to be very careful. Solomon said in Proverbs 26 verse 27, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. He that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. You are rolling a stone up a slope, and you find that, you know, you release it, well, it rolls back and it hits you. Okay? To help us to see and understand these two verses concerning how we are to avoid foolish vengeance, avoid taking things into our own hands, avoid vengeful hatred, vengeful actions that may be detrimental, harmful to others. The While we were studying the book of Esther, you remember during our prayer meeting some time ago, we were looking at the harm that this man Haman did when he plotted against the Jews. Right? There was a great hatred, and the hatred was so strong that he wanted all of the Jews throughout the Persian Empire to be killed, and he tricked the king into issuing a decree to exterminate all the Jews. And we saw how God turned the whole situation. The gallows in which Haman built for himself was used to hang his own neck. So it is really very serious, right? That, you know, there's such a thing as what we call a boomerang. You know, you throw something out and it comes back to hit you. Right? So we are to be careful. This proverb tells us that we are to be careful how we are to order our life. Right? Haman was trying to plot in order that Mordecai may, you know, lose his life. But what happened? Well, God caused the king, the Persian emperor, to not be able to sleep, having a royal insomnia one night. And so he asked his men to bring him the chronicles, the history of his, of the records of the things that happened to his kingdom. And he was reading and reading, and he came to one page that says that, oh, there was an assassination attempt on him by two men, and how the Jew Mordecai saved him. He didn't know that. He didn't thank him. But that night he was awake and he happened to be reading it. And Mordecai was supposed to come. Right? The decree has been issued to kill all the Jews. And Esther, you know, wanted to intervene and invited Haman and the emperor to a feast that day. And how the circumstances was such that everything was overturned. Right? Mordecai was exposed. Right? He was supposed to go to the king that morning in order to, well, in the sense, tell the king to punish Mordecai for some reason. But the king instead told him to reward Mordecai for what he had done. So here we see, right, that evil, right, God will deal with it. And you'll find that we as a people of God, right, must not take things into our own hands, right? But we must trust God to fight our battles lawfully. And you recall, for some of you who have attended this morning's Bible study, we were looking at the Exodus, right? Chapter 1. We said, thou shalt not kill. Okay, because the Pharaoh issued a decree to kill all the male babies. And we said, you know, that there were about 2 million Jews in Egypt at that time. And, you know, we were quoting the statistics. 1968, there were about 2 million Singaporeans. And there were about 47,000 babies that were born at that time. So imagine a fruitful Israelite camp with many babies coming on, and the king issuing a genocide decree. We explain what is anti-Semitism. That was the beginning of hatred against the Jews that, you know, continue to prevail throughout human history. And we said how the midwives, the midwives were named, Shipra and Puah. The Pharaoh's name, the evil man, was not even mentioned. You know, we don't even know who that evil man is. God doesn't want to mention him. But the two ladies who organized the rescue of the male babies in Egypt were honored, their names were given there. And our text tells us when we were studying in Exodus chapter 1, verse 17, says that the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So they had faith in God to protect and to take care of them, come what may. They had the law of God in their hearts. Right? At that time, the Ten Commandments has not been given. Right? The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Right? But they had that conscience in their heart to know that it is a terrible thing to take lives. And therefore, what did they do? They had the fear of God in their hearts. What is the fear of God? Job 28:28, we were mentioning. Behold, the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. Okay, and to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. So the wise would choose to avoid vengeance. So we are to be very careful. And we saw in our text how God rewarded the midwives, right? Pharaoh, they told Pharaoh that, you know, somehow the Hebrew women were able to give birth every time, were more active. They were able to give birth to the baby before they came. The Egyptian women are more sluggish. So of course, it's a lie. All right, but here, what we want to emphasize, we said that it is wrong, right, to lie. But the emphasis here was upon the simple faith of the midwives, how they trusted God, they feared God, right, and they did not kill the babies, and how God rewarded them. Exodus 1:21 tells us that God built special lodging place for them, to house them, to protect them. So it's very interesting to know, to see, okay, here that it is important that we be very careful, right, how we conduct ourselves, the actions that we take. Right, digging a pit and falling into it, right, breaking a hedge. A hedge is a wall, right? A wall in a garden, for example, you know. And usually, a hedge is used to define a household, define a place, you know. So if you take down the hedge, it means that, you know, you want to overthrow, right? You want to just take away whatever that is the correct landmark there. And then what happened? Usually the serpent would hide there, and when you try to take it down, you'll be bitten. So then he says, whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and whoso cleaveth wood shall be endangered therewith. So here we are told, right, that for the people of God, when you are suffering oppression, you are suffering difficulties, what are we to do? Well, the Israelites prayed to God. They cried out to God, and God sent help to them. All right. If you understand, you know, what the will of God is, then you'll be willing to obey the commandments of God. You remember Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, we were mentioning how he cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. And Jesus says, how would the scripture be fulfilled if I don't go to the cross? So Jesus took up the fallen ear and fixed it back into the servant, the high priest's servant, and asked Peter to put away his sword. Right? And Jesus said that he that wields the sword will also fall by the sword. So be careful. Be careful. Right? So he's telling us that, you know, we must mortify the flesh. Right? We must put away evil in our hearts. Right? And that is something that the Lord reminds and constantly reminds his people. Right? In times of provocation, we are to be calm, to trust God. God is able to help you. Then you remember when Peter, in the Acts of the Apostles, was in prison for preaching the gospel. What happened? The church gathered together to pray. And what happened? God sent help, right? An angel came to free Peter from the... So you see that the weapons of God are not carnal, but spiritual, to the pulling down of stronghold. And so God's people are to be aware to use spiritual means to live their life, and surely they would receive God's commendation. So this first thought from verse 8 to 9 says is to avoid foolish vengeance. Right? Then the second thought that is given to us in verse 10 is this: avoid foolish exertions, we said. Right? If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the iron, so the iron is blunt, the blade needs to be sharpened. Right? So we are to take time first to sharpen the blade before we would use the axe. If not, your effort would be very futile, right? Because you would not be able to cut the tree, chop the tree with a blunt axe. And so the Lord wants us to understand and see, right, that when we exert ourselves in life, we are to do so according to God's way. All right, and God's way has always been through His Word, through prayer. And if we try to live our lives without taking time to seek God's wisdom through the careful study of God's Word and the neglect of prayer and acting on our own strength, then our exertions will see little or no fruit. And that's why when we would choose to live wisely, we would choose to live close to the Lord. In all our endeavors, we would take time to seek Him, take time to pray, take time to seek the mind of God, take time to understand the will of God. And we are to what we call sharpen our axe. How do we do that? Well, it is through the careful, consistent study of God's Word. You know, Paul says, preach the whole counsel of God. Right? The whole counsel of God speaks about the breadth of Scripture. How the Bible consists of 66 books. So much wisdom in all the various areas of life. And you know, you just can't learn it all at one time. You would need to take time and take the trouble, right, to be before God, to open to the Scriptures in order that you may be able to understand what God would want us to do. And oftentimes the battles are won in our quiet study than in the time when we face the enemy. The time when we face the enemy is the time when we are to act. You know, there's no time for thought. You would have already crystallized what the will of God is, and God would bring His Word, His wisdom, to remembrance in your mind, in your heart, so that you would know, you know, this is what you ought to do. Okay, so here, to sharpen our iron means to take time. Take time to know the Word of God well. Right? So last year we have completed the study, the reading of the Bible in 1 year. So I I would urge you, if you have completed, those who have completed coming to say that I've completed reading. So I'm, you know, in that sense, we would prepare a certificate for this who have completed, so that, you know, they may be encouraged, right, that, yeah, indeed, we have taken time to know God and to study His Word. And that is not easy, you know. It requires a lot of discipline. It requires a lot of stamina, right? It's a daily routine. It would take time, but you'll find that you would benefit from it, because you ultimately, right, would be able to profit by the wisdom that God would impart to you in your study. Right? So, and the reading through the Bible in a year is truly a wonderful spiritual exercise. So if you have not been able to do so last year, right, please continue and do so this year. Right? There are those who have completed and they are beginning a second round, reading through again. So wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, and you'll find that, you know, the more you spend time in the quiet study of God's Word, the more He would be able to give you stillness in your heart and wisdom to do His will, to do exploits for Him. Okay, men and women often fall into depression, and we've been talking about that recently. How it is the number one disease, or number two disease, going to be the number one disease. Because, you know, men and women could not find solutions to their problems in life. And because they could not find solutions, they could not, you know, they did not wait upon God, cast their care, cast their burden upon God. You see, the power of prayer is this, that when we cast our care upon God, God gives to us His peace. That peace would steal our heart to know that God is in control and God will provide a solution. Although we don't see the way ahead, you know, it may still be vague, the path may still be dark, but we know that we are in good hands. There is a peace, there is a joy, a sublime joy that causes our hearts to be restful, not fidgety, not fretful at all. Okay, so here you find that God's people indeed must cultivate, inculcate that kind of a spiritual strength, so that they would be able to, by it, live what we said wisely, live happily in this present world. And we would inadvertently, you know, God would send people our way where we would be able to help others, you know, bring others to come and find wisdom. They would listen and they would come and they would sit with you and they would be with you, you know, to walk with God, because they know that indeed this is the way forward. Okay, so avoid vengeance, avoid foolish exertions, and thirdly, avoid foolish talking. Verses 11 to 15. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment. A babbler is no better. Who is a babbler? A babbler, who someone who talks non-stop. Alright, he says that, well, you know, out of 1,000 words that are spoken, we are to be, you know, some of these words indeed does bite and does cause harm. According to one statistician, the average person spends at least 13 years of his life talking. On a normal day, something like 18,000 words are likely to be used, roughly equivalent to a book of 54 pages. So while the whole course of a single year, his words would fill 66 books, each containing 800 pages. That's why John wrote, you know, he says that if he were to record all the acts of Christ, he says that all the books will not be able to contain it. Right? If that life is spent doing good, how much good it would bring. But if it's spent causing harm, right, how much harm will it bring? So James says, behold, how great a little matter a little fire kindereth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. You recall when we were studying this during this text during our cottage meeting, we said that the unchecked tongue is a world of iniquity. Right? The word iniquity means the outworking of sin in crooked lifestyle. It defiles the entire body. So we are to watch our tongues. Let our words be few. Right? Let our words be gracious, verse 12 says. Right? The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. It speaks of words that would help build up. Right? But the lips of fool will swallow up himself. That's very strong words there. Right? It speaks of causing harm. Okay? And the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. So you see how we need to cultivate our lives, you know, cultivate our hearts. Jesus says that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account therein in the day of judgment. For by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So the man's words is precursor to his action. And God judges us after what we do in this life. So Pharaoh, when he issued the decree to kill the male babies, right, it is terrible. So the decisions we make influences the things around us. Right? In your office, in your workplace, you may be doing certain things, and you know the decisions that you are involved to make does and can affect the lives of others. And so we are to be careful. We are to be considerate. Right? A fool also is full of words, verse 14 says. A man cannot tell what shall be or what shall be after him. Who can tell him? Meaning that, you know, he would not be cannot be talked to, meaning that not teachable. Right? Cannot be taught. That's sad. That's very sad. The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. Right? He tells us that it is no wisdom, and it doesn't help, and it doesn't bring you to the destination of choice, but it leads astray. So here the advice is to take time to wait on God. No time is lost, as we said, wait on. To walk with God, No strength is lost. Walk on. Right? To talk with God, no breath is lost. Talk on. May the Lord grant to us His wisdom to live wisely. And we are thankful to God that we can take time, you know, in this simple manner to study His Word. Right? As we take time to plow through, to labor through His Word, you will find that you will be able to find many gems out of His Word. Practical applications, you know, to help us through life. So that when you are confronted with life situation, you know, you never know when it comes. You would be able to act in a wise, godly, considerate, gracious manner. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy Word. Thank Thee for showing us Thy wisdom. And Lord, showing us also the pitfalls of foolish actions, foolish words, foolish thoughts that undermine our walk with Thee. And Lord, we pray that Thou be gracious to strengthen Thy people, that we may have the wisdom to walk with Thee and find strength daily from Thee. May Thy joy and Thy peace be our portion from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen.